children.
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
Drinking a claw right there. I don't want no pictures of me drinking a claw.
I'm sorry, I speak directly into the microphone.
Don't record this.
I don't want no pictures of me drinking a... He said Bud Light.
I did not endorse beep.
I think beep is the reason for the end of the world. That could be anything.
This does make a lot of noise.
I have coffee. I have beep. I'm good.
I was going to ask you to give me a bang too, Flynn. But
a what?
A bang.
What's a bang?
It's an energy drink.
Energy drink.
Oh.
Because I couldn't stop. There was no time for Starbucks right now.
Oh.
But you know what?
You just told me you were going to get... I could have got Starbucks for
this
you.
This white beep will do something.
Yeah, dude. I know. At least I got enough time to get some beep claws.
The episode today is brought to you by beep.
Variety pack number one.
Is that the sound of it going down the sink?
I was going to say it's the sound of defeat.
Wait, which one did you get?
Raspberry.
Oh, that's the worst one, dude. Oh,
I don't fucking know. I don't drink these things. I don't drink beeps.
You should have gave him a black cherry or a freaking...
I elected to get raspberry freely, actually. That's my favorite one.
Way too sweet.
Should have got tall cans. I knew it. I knew this was going to happen. I was like, it's going to be claws. Watch.
I told him yesterday.
I mean, it's going to be beep.
Oh my god.
Boy. Oh. Yeah, just so you know, I haven't read over any of your script.
Oh, that's good. I want you guys to be surprised.
Yeah, we're just going in.
I haven't read any of it either.
Oh, this is going
to
be fun.
I specifically asked. I was like, do I need to prepare anything?
Do I need to read anything?
And Anthony was like, I want you to go in as blind as fucking
possible.
Yeah,
go in blind.
And I was just like, okay.
Mm-hmm. All I did was like, all right, check it out on Wikipedia. This is what it is. Cool.
No, I didn't even do that.
I did that at least.
I didn't do anything. He was just like, I don't want you to know anything.
I mean, I had followed it since I was a child, so I understand a little bit of it intrinsically, but goddamn,
I don't understand anything.
Ugh, this would be fun. I'm glad.
Ever.
I did scroll through your titles, though, and I saw that there was like a Game of Thrones reference in there, and
yeah.
I'm just like, oh shit, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
You ready to get started?
Yeah, I like it. Let's go. You guys good?
You guys good?
Sure.
Yeah? All right, cool.
Everyone has their beeps.
Yep. All
right, let's do this. All right, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
Hey.
Joining us in the studio, a.k.a. my kitchen, two longtime favorites of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Hello, guys. Alex, James, hello.
Collectively known as N4L Gaming, but...
Yep.
No. Collectively.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Hi everybody.
Happy to have you guys back.
You may remember me from such episodes as Donnie Darko and Resident Evil 2.
And The Lost Boys.
So again, podcast
favorites.
Which
I turned a friend into a fan because of that episode.
You did. I noticed some new demo
back, and then she's listening to every episode.
That's why. Awesome. That explains the data. Thank you, listener.
That's awesome.
Shout out.
Much appreciated. Hell yeah.
That's awesome. Love that.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so welcome. Today we are changing things up a little bit.
Yes.
Because my life has fallen to shambles.
Mm-hmm.
So
welcome to 2020.
And we already Oh, July's been interesting. Yeah, July.
To say the least.
Mm-hmm.
So to thankfully save my ass, Anthony was like, oh, remember that episode that we've had like in our back pocket this whole time? And I was like, I didn't, but let's do it.
Yeah. It was literally too big. You know, when we did Resident Evil 2, obviously with Mr. Alex Cordova, it was a much longer episode. Like, much longer. Yeah. And then we looked at the outline, we're like, we're not doing 14 pages. So...
Especially with, like, three people. Like,
yeah.
It was, like, way too long.
Yeah, so we cut it in half. Because there's a very, very interesting side story within that whole development cycle that we're going to go through right now. So
let's talk about Resident Evil 1.5.
Mm-hmm. 1.5. Internet fucking darling, apparently.
So let's get into it. So also known as Biohazard 1.5 and Biohazard 2 Prototype, Resident Evil 1.5, the development name given to the first iteration of Resident Evil 2, which was scrapped in 1997. The search for this build would spark a manhunt that lasted 15 years, and it involves betrayal, huge payoffs, death, and even U.S. Marshals.
Yeah, for the hunt for a version of the game that got canceled. It's so fucking insane.
Sounds very Game of Thrones, actually.
Yeah, dude. That's
pretty crazy.
There's a lot of backstabbing in this one.
Well, hopefully the payoff's better than Season 8, am I right?
You know what? There's a lot of parallels with that in here, actually.
Can we not trigger all of us?
I was going to say, like, the silence that just, like, fell across I was just like, ooh, that hurt.
I can't watch seasons 1 through 6 anymore without, like, remembering after the moment and be like, oh, but they fucked this up.
But at least the Hound went out.
Oh, yeah, dude. His story was a G.
His whole story, his whole arc was amazing.
If they can just, like, isolate all his clips and put them in one thing, that'd be great.
Well, there's tons of like YouTube videos. I know, it's, but like, you know, all the best.
That's true. I want like a narrative.
Just
like,
watch thing. That.
Yeah. I was gonna say, like, we have the technology. It exists.
it does exist.
Oh well, that's the next project. So, but let's learn a little bit about 1.5, which you touched on a little bit in our episode, of course, on Resident Evil 2. But as stated in, of course, that episode, game director Hideki Kamiya made a version of the now iconic game that kind of fucking blew. at least according to Capcom and legendary Resident Evil creator Shinji Mikami. If you remember, Mikami is kind of like a diva. So yeah.
Mikami's also your boy.
He is my boy. Yeah, dude. He scrapped this shit. but for a deep dive, of course, on that game's development, definitely listen to our 75th episode for more. But the short version is, Kamiya didn't like horror films. The pressure for the sequel to live up to the original was way too fucking high, and there weren't even any connections to the original game in this build. Also, it was really, really, really boring, supposedly. That's what's been leaked, apparently. But we say supposedly, of course, because in these early stages of the game's development, only a few select people actually had a chance to play it. Pretty much just the game developers, game testers, and game reviewers. The last of which, whose job it was to hype the fucking game. And of course, in the 90s, hype they did. So if you happen to be a frequent buyer of video game magazines in the early 90s.
No.
Oh yeah, were you? No?
I went to the store and they ripped out all the game codes.
Oh, you would. You fucking would.
I subscribed.
A, I was poor. B, so what? C, codes, man.
I subscribe.
You subscribe?
I subscribe.
I would, like, occasionally have enough money to buy a magazine. Yeah, well, I couldn't get them consistently.
Or you could just take a piece of paper and write them down. But I ripped them out because I was kind of a jerk.
So yeah. Some poor kid's like, oh, boy, this has the cheats for...
I hope you're listening to this podcast. It was me.
It was me.
It was me.
Oh, my gosh. But of course, you'll notice some screenshots and articles that showed a version of the game that was very, very different than what the finished product would actually end up being. This version still had, of course, our boy Leon S. Kennedy as one of the protagonists. Fucking goat. but there was no Claire Redfield in sight at all. Instead, a character named Elsa Walker would lead the second scenario in the campaign, her background being a college student with a love of motorcycles. Other changes included Ada Wong being an actual scientist instead of the series' go-to femme fatale, Officer Marvin Branagh being Leon's sidekick for the majority of his story, and Police Chief Brian Irons actually being a supportive character instead of an asshole. Also a much more modern-looking police station and the inclusion of some dude named Roy. Yeah, it was a...
Hey there, Mr. S.
Yeah, hey there, Mr. S. It's a Simpsons reference.
It goes over my head.
Yeah, no, I immediately knew you. I knew you would get it. I knew. It's just in Resident Evil, just like people get mauled. He's like, "Hey,
go on with the boring film."
Of course, with an emphasis on action, less conflict between characters, and way less scares, the product was something that the producers just couldn't back. However, copies of this original version of the game were out there, and the press was feverish in its enthusiasm to see where Resident Evil 2 would take the series. This press version of the game was obviously scrapped, with the new version surprising everyone and confusing fans who...
Oh, shit, was that me?
Probably. Mute it.
I don't have a PC.
Mute it.
My bad. I totally forgot my...
I'm running hot right back in.
All right, my bad. Wait, start it over.
This version of the game was... God damn it.
You sound so angry.
Just throw the fuck at my beat.
I was gonna say, use that as the beat, dude. Yeah, I'm keeping that all in.
Fuck that.
A good time to note is everyone's phone on silent.
Yeah, mine is. I put my phone on silent, but not my laptop. My bad.
Yes.
You should have went full Christian Bale the whole time.
Yes.
You should have went full Christian Bale right there. Mm-hmm. That was the time. What was that?
You had an opportunity.
Oh my god.
What was that? Oh good.
I'm seriously thinking of professional over here. Oh my god.
Stupid. Going off the rails a little bit here.
Yeah, no, it's fine. That's what this podcast is. So, oh boy. This version of the game was obviously scrapped. I'm keeping it all. With the new version surprising everyone and, of course, confusing fans who had one major question on their minds. What happened to this early version of Resident Evil 2? James, let us know.
Wait. Before that, were you going to reference the Avalanche review stuff? That footage?
Oh, that's... I wasn't going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the discussion.
Have you seen it, though?
Oh, yeah. I watched the whole video.
Well, we can keep the discussion.
When it comes down, we're talking about it. All right, I was going to say,
like, all that stuff you're saying right there, I was like, yep, I saw that video.
I love that I'm just in the dark. Like, no matter who else is in the dark, I'm like, I got you.
I'm pretty well-versed in games, but even that, I was like, I don't know what that is.
Well, no matter who's in the dark, I'm right there with you.
Well, Avalanche, so it was zombies in the snow?
That would have been better. But, oh no, the real me of the story is coming right now, though. Because, of course, the hunt is the big part of it. So, James, what happened here?
Let's see. In December of 1997, Andrew Cockburn, great name.
Great name.
Great name.
Hey, Mr. Cockburn.
Hey, Cockburn. Andrew Cockburn.
Hey, popular... Andy Cocky.
You almost
fell on your PC.
We're going to try to get through this here, but it might take a little bit.
That almost sent the white beeps flying. Yeah, dude.
Remember, elaborate histories on major themes in horror and dick jokes is the podcast.
Okay.
So Mr. Andrew Cockburn of the popular, at the time, game magazine Game Fan received an advanced copy of Resident Evil 2 for the purpose of grabbing screenshots. At the time, GameFan was known for producing very high-quality screenshots and were an excellent source for promotion. The version he received was very different from the one he had seen just a year prior. Two big things that came from this, the internet, which was pretty much the Wild West in the 90s,
yep,
would get a chance to see a build of Resident Evil 2 that was different than the one that had been promoted till that time, essentially letting the public know that 1.5 had been scrapped. The second thing, Cockburn, great name, would lose his job and almost get arrested.
What?
Damn. Yeah. Oh, dumbass.
Damn.
Is it because his name burn, and he went into porn?
Yep.
It's a porn name.
It's a great porn name.
Yeah, dude.
No, Andy Cockburn. Think about it, people.
Andy Cocky, dude.
Moving on. While it wasn't uncommon to take a copy of the game home to get an idea what to expect, Andy Cocky over here made the fatal mistake of letting his friend borrow a copy of the game. Uh-oh.
Yep.
This asshole friend probably burned himself a copy on a good old 90s CD-ROM.
Yep.
CD-ROM, for you kids out there...
Okay, first of all, technology. You're looking directly at...
I'm saying kids as a generalization.
Yeah, but you're looking directly at...
You
me.
Sat him over there. You sat him over there. I don't want to see his fucking put a towel over his head.
Waterboard him. Yeah.
See, kids, back in the day, we used to have to burn stuff on CDs.
I did that!
What's a CD, you ask? Okay, never mind. So anyway, this asshole friend...
Compact disc.
Burned himself a copy on a good old 90 CD-ROM, and he leaked the copy to the internet, which was still the Wild West, but you know, got out there.
That guy is not a true friend. Because can you imagine if you were a game developer?
Yeah.
And you said, hey, here's this game that's going to come out. Want to play it? I'd say, yeah. Let me play it and you play it so that we can just fucking
give me your ideas, man. Yeah. How am I doing?
And flex it all over everyone else and not just, oh, I'm going to leak it to the internet.
Imagine, even as a content creator, you would have, the ability to put everything out there first once it did come out.
Well, if you signed an NDA regardless, you're not even supposed to talk about stuff like this. Mm-hmm. I have a friend that works for Insomniac, and they just revealed the games are releasing, and he finally got to tell me. This was like 2-3 years ago. We were at a show, and I was like, oh, man, what game are you working on? He's like, I can't tell you. And then 2 weeks ago,
he was like,
they revealed it, and he's like, it's Ratchet & Clank. I was like, yeah. But he couldn't tell me what it was because he signed an NDA, and he would get fired.
Even if
he told me, and it got out.
Do you think that like level of security nowadays is rooted back to Mr. Cockburn here?
Probably. Oh, way to go, Andy. Yeah, look at you go, for everybody.
Boy, look at you. Dude. Yeah, dude. Connecting the dots.
I was going to say his name again, but no, I can't do it.
So the copy, which is a very telling code, letting Capcom know exactly where it came from.
Mm-hmm. There's a little tiny snippet of code in there that Capcom's like, that's Cocky's code.
In like a shadow somewhere, there's just the word Cock. Yeah.
I swear we're going to be able to get through this.
Oh my god.
I hurt a lot of people and I closed a lot of doors, says good old Cock.
This podcast really is 80% horror, 20% dick jokes.
We're going to flip that today.
Yep. So after a night of getting really, really high, U.S. Marshals knocked on old Cock's door.
Okay.
I can't do it. I cannot do it now. They took his computer and they cost him his job in the gaming industry. His friends shunned him and he was ousted from the games industry for 12 years.
Jesus Christ.
12 that fucking sucks. Years, dude.
Mm-hmm. If somebody, U.S. Marshals?
I can't even not play a video game for like 2 days. I'll go crazy. Mm-hmm. That sucks. This move by Capcom had one clear message. Anyone that leaked anything from the company would receive the harshest penalties imaginable. This only made the internet thirsty for more.
Oh, yep. Of course. The second you, like, tighten the reins, they're just, like, more feral.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. They're like, give it to us. Come on.
They're like, what do you mean we can't see it? Now I want
to
see it.
Can you imagine if this game were to come out now, how crazy the internet is now?
Oh, that source code would have been leaked.
Oh, he would. Yeah. And that guy would have been eaten alive. Like, mm-hmm. It would have been insane. So,
the cocky copy is out there on the fucking line.
Get the
cock. God damn it!
I'm sorry. So tons and tons of fan sites came up around this time, all in search of the legendary Resident Evil 1.5, which was now confirmed to be vastly different than the final version of the game. But one site reigned supreme. Bioflames. What is Bioflames, Alex?
Yeah. What is it? Tell us.
I've never heard of that name in my life, but okay. We're going to find out. All right. So in 1999, Bioflames received a metric fuck ton of screenshots of the 1.5 version of the game, showing off scenarios that had never been seen by the public at that time. These were shared by means of a new emerging technology, the cell phone camera.
Oh.
You see, kids, back in the day, we didn't used to have cameras on our phones.
Mm-hmm. This new emerging technology will allow you to take pictures of your Cockburn and send it over to people.
Let me tell you a tale of the Nokia phone.
Yeah. Speaking of snakes.
That is your co-host, Alex. Right there.
I did not intend for this.
I don't endorse him. I don't claim him.
Okay, that's. I think that's the last one for a while.
No, all right,
is it though?
We'll find a way.
Where's the Jeff Goldblum?
This is what happens when we introduce us with beeps.
Gotta love the beeps.
And audience, you have no idea. Beast is referencing something that James just, NDA can't talk about.
Discuss it. The U.S. Marshals will come for me. Yeah. And I don't have a cool name like Cockburn.
Evidently, the screenshots came from a friend of Bioflames moderator, Kim Larson, who worked at Capcom.
Oh, no. Once
the company got wind of this, the friend cut off all contact with Larson as the hype generated from the community was far greater than anyone had anticipated. Apparently, they had been reprimanded severely for the leak, and this created an air of fear for everyone who so happened to have a beta copy of the game.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Huh. Mm-hmm. They're like, no marshals because you're in Japan right now, but you're done, son.
While the screenshots were nice, the internet was still hungry as shit. Four more. So, like, basically, the internet doesn't really care that people are getting fucking hung up to dry career-wise right now because they just want screenshots.
You mean the internet is selfish?
you mean the internet's a not nice place?
What? You mean people don't give a fuck about anything because they have anonymity?
Ugh. And they can say whatever they want behind a computer screen?
And nobody knows who they are? Blasphemy. Oh my god.
Fans all over the world would visit BioFlames, sharing obscure magazines with new screenshots, and even at one point getting a very early version of the game with completely empty rooms, courtesy of a demo disc that came with a DualShock controller. Apparently Capcom did not even bother removing some of the code.
Oh yeah, it was like some weird ass just like super beta build where people are like, I'm playing as Eliza! Like, that's Dang. It.
So, DualShock controllers used to come with demo discs, dude? I thought we were just to get them from Pizza Hut.
Different times, dude. Different times.
Oh, damn. I remember that. Yeah. Kids.
He points at me every time.
I'm pointing in the general direction of the world. This is the world.
I understand.
It's you and a window behind you. And
there's some kids outside your window. I'm like, you damn kids.
Like, I can hear the Utes.
There's a lot of Utes, all right?
Okay, so this was the heyday of the search for 1.5, led prominently by a man named Chris Brown.
Not that guy.
Not that one that we're all thinking of.
Chris Brown loves Resident Evil.
I know, I was gonna say, I was just like, even, I don't, what? Okay, anyway.
I was gonna sing one of his songs, but I don't know any of his songs. So you, and the U.S. Marshals metaphor, so we will see you guys later.
God damn it, Anthony!
This is Raspberry Claw, dude. Another R right
now. No, beep!
I will beep it in when you edit this, actually. I gotta write the next one.
Yeah, I'm editing this. Make it easy for you, Jesus.
It would appear that the co-host might be a little drunk.
Oh, dang, slamming claws.
Short breath.
All right, Chris Brown, not that one. Who was known to the community as Al-Zaire?
I like Al-Zaire.
Al-Zaire?
Al-Zaire, BioFlames. Cockburn. Did it.
He was essentially an early version of an internet sleuth.
Mm.
Though he was acting quickly enough and the community began to grow impatient and toxic.
Oh, yeah.
What?
So, because he wasn't doing
no.
it fast enough?
He wasn't leaking fast enough? Yeah, no, dude. Man. He wasn't working fast enough to get fucking sources.
Unbelievable. Okay. The rabid fans and punishment from Capcom created an air of fear around any leads and info surrounding to this fabled game.
Oh yeah, dude.
So pretty much anyone who had like any version of this game, like they were just like they had to like burn it in like a sacrificial like
weren't
ritualistic
they,
fire.
Weren't
or something.
They like transporting like Harry Potter books like with guards and whatnot
oh, yeah,
when
dude.
They were coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Like this is like that level
oh, yeah.
for this game back then.
After the Dumbledore Dies leak?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. They went fucking
crazy. No, they were legit like
okay.
No, you got a story. I know. I can see it in your heart. What happened?
When I was... Okay, this is going to age me. But when I was about 10 when the book where Dumbledore Dies
Half-Blood Prince, yeah.
Yes, when Half-Blood Prince came out. So I went to a midnight release thing at Borders.
Oh,
remember
my God.
Remember when that was a thing?
Hey, kids, remember Borders?
You see, kids.
Borders. So I went to a midnight release party for this fucking book. And the douchebags in front of me opened the back of the book and read the end of Half-Blood Prince in front of me at the party and read it out loud. And like I was, and my aunt thankfully was just like, they're just playing. And me being 10, I was just like, yeah, you're probably right.
You knew in your heart though, didn't you?
I tried to push it out of my brain. I was really, part of me.
And that's when your innocence died, was that day.
Yeah. And I got to the end of the book, and I was like, son of a bitch.
You read it in their voice.
Yeah, I was just like, motherfucker.
Yeah, so we already got Game of Thrones, we got Harry Potter, we got Simpsons, we got fucking...
This plane that's fucking
plane.
Everything up.
We got Cockburn.
Yeah. No, we hopefully don't.
I haven't been out in a while, so I know I don't have Cockburn.
Allie's about to spit her fucking coffee out right
all
now.
All over.
Spit it over that guy over there. He's the one who's...
I know. This is his fault.
It is.
Hashtag Cockburn when I post this up. That's
no! We don't want to be in those hashtags!
No, we don't. You're right.
Or do you? Because it's more publicity.
Yeah, they're like, wait, what do they mean by this, though? Let's listen to the episode.
And then the numbers shoot up.
Yeah, there you go. Like, four people.
Whatever.
Okay. Are we good? Is that plan going? By 2007, the community was on the cusp of giving up the search for 1.5.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Since things seem so grim, right?
Yeah, they seem grim. I mean,
your typos point are just unbelievable.
Hey, all right, dude. This is the last minute episode.
All right. Breakthroughs like an old demo code and screenshots from a March 1997 Famitsu issue can only carry them for so long. And instead, hoaxes and false leads plagued the forums for much of the subsequent years.
Oh, yeah, dude.
The fans did their best to recreate the layout of the game and speculate on the story with what info they had, but it wasn't enough to satiate such a passionate group. Isn't that right, Mr. Flynn?
Oh, yeah, dude. No, I would have fucking raised hell.
The mystery was just too strong. At one point, an admin of an emulation website named Mushindo...
That's it.
Oh, just Mushindo? Oh, I thought for some long-ass name, dude. I was ready for it.
Mushindo Cockburn. There you go. Oh, my God.
The website named Mushindo thought she had a copy of the game, and her inbox was filled with so many insults and even death threats demanding her to release the game, she straight up went into hiding.
Yep. Yep. Dude, they were that starved, dude.
That's the internet I know.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Mm-hmm. It would appear the internet has not changed.
I know. When was this? Like
2007?
That was 2007, yeah, right? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're coming into our own right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is like, okay.
People are assholes. What?
People suck.
Mm-mm.
Soon, however, the community would have its biggest breakthrough yet. All it took was an employee getting out of a contract in the darkest way possible.
Ooh.
Eesh. So it turned out NDAs cannot be enforced post-mortem. And it just so happened that a Capcom employee, died.
Mm-hmm.
And an estate sale soon followed, one with an early build of Resident Evil 1.5 on the line.
Ooh.
So this information was relayed over to one of the community's leaders, who called upon the rabid fan base to raise a staggering $4,000 to bid for a copy of the disc. Unfortunately, the community took too long to gather their funds, and the copy was sold for a measly $300.
You mean the internet won't come together?
Yeah.
No!
This is also just shitty organizing. Like, someone who, like that just also goes to show that the people who are trying to, like, get this disc, like, collectively, no one had more than $300.
Yeah, no, they
I can imagine they're like, all right, we're gonna get the disc, all right, you do this. Don't tell me what to do. No, you do this. No, what the hell?
Josh, just give us the 100 and PayPal. We're almost there, man. It was like, there was, dude, I'm working right now.
Too much infighting. Like,
yeah,
exactly.
Like, mm-hmm. Someone just needed to show up with, like, $350. And yeah. Like, come on.
How do we know this is real? Like, he sent us a video. We hadn't seen this before. I don't buy it. Oh, fuck. Dude, you have the money.
So this obviously put the community into meltdown, but not for long, as a site called PlayStation Museum, very clearly ran by the buyer, adding a new video. 10 minutes of new gameplay footage from Resident Evil 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
This buyer began to be known by the community as the curator, which Oof. Is very...
There you go. Vis-a-vis.
Yeah. He still looks the same.
I know that's the architect, but still. That's what it reminded me of.
And Alizair went out of his way to collect him.
To contact him.
Collect him. I shall
collect your soul for this game, sir.
Well, then I started thinking of the collector, like the movie, and I was like...
Hey, this I've been saying you guys should do that episode.
I would love to do that episode.
I've been saying...
Season 3!
It's on the list.
This straight up sounds like Game of Thrones right now.
Right? I'm talking about it the gets curator, insane, dude.
Alizair found him, you know? It's fucking... Mm-hmm. Oh,
anyway, Alizair was dealing with... So he went out of his way to contact him and find ways to earn his favor.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He wants to give him a cop burn, you know what I'm saying?
They were translating shit for him, and they were doing all these things to be like, hey, man, like, can you, like, show us a little more? Like, it was, like, desperate.
I can't stand you guys. Okay. unfortunately for him, he was dealing with something that was becoming more and more prominent among the internet in 2007. A fucking troll.
Oh, yeah.
the curator, Mind the Community, and Alizair himself for information on how to debug the game and help with translations, to which everyone gladly obliged in the hopes that they would eventually get to see a build of the game for themselves. But the curator, if anything, was an asshole about it. he taunted the community with footage. He played the song You Sexy Thing by Hot Chocolate in the background with an emphasis on the lyric, I believe in miracles.
All with zombies dying in the background. Everybody's like, I haven't seen this yet.
he created multiple accounts on Bioflames that would go on attacks against prominent community members and tried to create conflict and infighting between various groups. Oh, this is very trollish.
Was Rickroll a thing back then?
I think it was coming out, dude.
In 2007. Yeah.
So I was going to say, like, what if like he's like, all right, here's the game, and then right when it starts, it's just a Rickroll?
All the
zombies dancing.
He's showing the disc of the game. Never gonna give you up.
Never gonna let you down.
Early 2000s. Okay, anyway, so I hated it, says Alizair. But it gave us hope maybe things can start happening now. Someone who is not a Capcom employee has, for better or for worse, got a copy of the game, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
After having his fun with the fanboys, the curator demanded $10,000 from Alizair in order to obtain a copy of the game.
Guys, seriously.
Considering that these guys could not even get $3,000.
But now he wants $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. naturally, talks broke down. But the community ended up obliging, raising the funds needed to get a copy, only for the curator to spit in their faces by turning down the offer and putting up a post on eBay with an asking price of $125,000.
So Game of Thrones.
Yeah, dude. Right, that's fucking, this guy's a Ramsay Bolton, if I ever heard of fucking...
He's a Frey, dude.
Oh, he's a total Frey.
Sorry,
nerds. Nah, dude. Season 8 still. Every time I think again, season 8 right afterwards, I'm like, God damn it.
This, however, informed Alizair of one thing. This bitch needed money.
Mm-hmm.
By keeping an eye on the curator's eBay page, fans noticed he was desperately selling off prized items like PlayStation development kits, seemingly in order to get by.
Mm-hmm.
For years, fans watched his page, waiting for a chance to reasonably acquire this legendary copy of Resident Evil 1.5. But time was of the essence as threat of disc rot loomed with each subsequent year.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun.
What happened?
So wait, the whole bunch of nerds were just watching this guy's fucking eBay page?
They were like, really? How desperate is he getting right now? They're like waiting for it.
Waiting for the price to drop?
For
to, like,
years, dude. I mean, for fucking years.
How patient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's disc rot?
Because I know, I was like, I've had disc rot.
Is he leaving it in the sun?
it's possible for, I think, games of that era. To rot. You don't have any PlayStation ones left, right? No. Yeah. If those old CD-ROMs, they can deteriorate.
You see, kids.
Right. We used to have to buy our games on digital.
Yeah.
I mean, on...
What is an update?
Every time James goes into a... Like, you see, kids. Like, I just imagine, like, a background popping up and, like, it's zooming in and then turning into, like, this really 80s, like, PSA. Yeah. Like, you see children.
Yeah. I think I gotta start making those.
Like, very, like, mm-hmm. Saved by the Bell. Like...
What is a flash?
Okay, so
track?
I'm the old guy? Wow. All right. Anyway, unfortunately, by 2011, the inevitable happened. Disc rot had destroyed the much-desired disc of Resident Evil 1.5.
No!
Yeah, I think the curator just fucking broke it himself. He was like, damn kids!
Luckily, the curator, a.k.a. asshole, had learned how to copy the files from the disc onto his computer, which now housed the only known copy of the prototype build in existence. Alizair and the community scrounged up $8,000 and told him to take it or leave it. The curator gave in, and in April of 2011, 13 years after the release of Resident Evil 2, a disc containing the fabled build of the game was in Alizair's hands.
Okay, real quick, I googled it. What causes disc rot? Generally speaking, disc rot occurs due to chemical reactions with the reflective layer of the disc, ultraviolet light damage, scratches that expose the delicate and corrosive layer to environmental factors, or the deterioration of manufacturing materials.
So either he left it in the sun.
He left it in the sun, dude.
Or, I can
or
imagine
it
him.
Was just hand, or it was just treated poorly to the point that like the scratches just like ended up becoming bigger scratches just from like wear and tear.
I imagine some like curator guy just having like a video putting the disc underneath the light and just laughing in the background maniacally.
Give me $10,000. Yeah, apparently it's
well, like if you had a kid, the kid just comes up, he's like, Eric, Eric, Eric. So yeah,
it's like scratching it. Play this CD. It's not even a music CD.
Yeah, it says disc rot is not exclusively avoidable. In some instances, though, it is inevitable. However, there are steps that can be taken to prolong the use of a disc.
So on this, he says, Alzair, there it was in my hands. I could control the character and move them around. There was the inventory screen, the map screen, all of the things we had desperately wanted to see for ages. It was like a dream. Here was something legit we were playing instead of just speculating and fantasizing about. Nice spelling on that, friend.
Fantasizing.
So we were fantasizing about it.
Hey, no, I copied and pasted that. That was the interviewer.
Good editing skills there.
But the seizing about, he's like, that's actually how he said it.
Alzair is a weird guy. This would be known as the 40% build of the game, and Alzair and his crew that assembled the funds for the game would finally, well, not actually release the game to the community at all. Mm-hmm. So they're also assholes.
Yep.
Apparently it still needed work. People were pissed. What could it possibly need? Turns out, Resident Evil 1.5 kind of fucking sucked.
Mm-hmm.
I just... Okay, so it got scrapped because everyone said it sucked. But then it scrapped, and then everyone was just like...
We need it.
We need it.
Yeah.
Because, and then once they finally went through all this fucking trouble, they were just like, oh, it does suck. Like, what? Like, what did you expect?
Now imagine waiting about 10 or so years for a new Star Wars film, and then you get the prequels. It's kind of like...
Oh, watch your mouth about Revenge of the Sith.
I said it. What's up? Three. I said it.
Episode 3.
You just said the trigger word for this podcast right here.
Star Wars? Or episode
prequels.
Three?
Prequels.
Star Wars prequels.
The amount of prequel conversation we've had on this podcast is...
And even just like with each other, like just yeah. like...
I'm taking a jab. What's
save
up?
It. Save it for another day. Dude, 1.55.
I know, we're going to have...
1.5.5.
We're going to have like... I have to have like a I don't know, a mini-sode or something where we just like get to talk about the prequels.
We did, yeah. About the horror that is Attack of the Clones. Anyways, let's go.
Now, this is a horror podcast, so it still counts.
It still counts.
But Alex is right. Episode 3 still kind of kicked ass a little bit. Anyway, a little bit.
Oh, she's about to
move on.
I'm throw her beep at you, dude.
Author Richard Mandel. This one's from Mandela.
From Mandela.
Would go on to write a book about his experience, or this experience says it best. Put yourself in their shoes. When they finally got their hands on that copy of the build, they quickly realized to their horror that what Capcom had been saying all along was right. It was a very bad game.
Yeah.
But the crew decided that the copy needed to live up to expectations. Well, the ones that put the most money into the project did. They used all the information they had acquired over the years since the fandom began and were set on building a more complete version of the game. This would be the only way they could distinguish themselves, as apparently a fabled 80% build of the game existed. They called themselves I Got a Shotgun.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the group name?
That's how it is.
Great
name.
I mean, you couldn't go with, like, the Green Herbs.
Something that was like...
The Nemesis.
Well, I mean, I got a shotgun. I mean, when you get the shotgun in Resident Evil, it's pretty cool.
There was a line in 2. I got a shotgun in there. Yeah.
Well, it should have been fucking the Master of Unlocking.
Like, oh, that would have been great. That's
what it should have been. Stranger. Oh, what are you buying?
Alex is just in the dark right now. It's like, yes, those quotes I understand.
She's like, ha ha ha.
Just like that.
Exactly like that. Exactly like that. I've heard you laugh 1,000 times.
You see, kids, the mercenary, that's what it's for.
He had a very weird accent. Alzair wanted to simply release the version of the game they had, but since he was overridden by the other contributors. Yeah. But since he had been overridden by other contributors, thank you, Wayne. Soon, a fight for dominance over the product would ensue, putting Alzair against a fellow member named Gemini.
Gemini's represent!
I don't think you want to associate with this Gemini.
These have got to be like the coolest kids ever.
I know, right?
Call me Gemini. Anyway.
No, curator. Absolutely not.
The curator.
The curator.
No, everyone who comes up with a freaking like alias in this situation is a fucking dork. Like,
yeah, I'm well, not...
from the land of bioplanes.
Step forward and speak French.
I am Alzair, but a member of this forum since 2012.
Look at my karma.
Look at my karma. Posted 20,000 times. I believe we should release the game. I, Gemini, speak, for I got a
shotgun. Anyway.
Speak!
So Gemini, who had been handpicked by Alzheimer for his ability to mod PlayStation games, an incredibly niche talent at the time, which was an incredibly niche talent at the time, Gemini was also known for being a dick.
Yeah.
You don't say.
Geminis are also known for being a dick, so it's fine.
Oh.
Oh, man.
On to you, Flynn.
Reset, man. I wasn't gonna get another. Bleep. I don't want to get one now.
I'm gonna get it soon. I'm running now. Oh boy, this fucking. I'm telling you, this is the one right here. Video Game of Thrones, dude.
Oh god, stop slamming your claw.
Your beak.
Sorry, James. This is not good.
Drinking from the skull of.
Drinking from the skull of Alzheimer.
This is so quickly just devolving.
He was a fucking legend of the fire.
Into just.
Oh, wait, see, we're not even there yet. This is the hard part right here. So Gemini was the lead programmer, essentially the one with the most control and technical know-how of the whole crew, and would often berate other members on the team who didn't agree with him. So, though everyone assumed they could trust each other, members began burning copies of the 40% build for friends, and the community began to look at these members as elites who lorded their positions over others. Yeah, rather than just release the build of the game to the community, as Alzheimer had intended to do in the first place.
God, fucking nerds.
I know. The team became...
Internet nerds, yeah, are the worst.
Yeah.
Video game nerds.
We're gonna get into it, Alex. Don't worry.
Wait. So these guys, like, this is like just people on their spare time,
yeah,
making mm-hmm. a game, completing that game.
It's
right?
Like those they're guys, yeah, they're modding on their own. Taking it upon themselves to remake Night to be able to play it in the Unreal 4 engine.
Yep.
They're just a group of people that are good with computers and nerdy as shit. Yeah, we should do this.
You would think though, they would just want to be like, you know, let's get this done so we can actually play this game that we've. You know,
but think of the power.
Unlimited power. Okay, I joined in on that one.
Oh, however, though, the team became paranoid, spying on private messages within the community because they were admins.
Oh my god! Yep,
and doing their best to discredit and silence dissenters.
This is good, dude.
Yeah,
this
is dude.
Good. This is a Game of Thrones episode.
It is.
It's getting good.
Dude, the
kid. Shame.
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 I think we should all just get along and maybe just play and see how the version is. Get the fuck out of here!
Imagine Gemini just being like, chaos is a ladder.
Oh my god! The little finger. Oh, dude.
I'm sorry, I had to.
I've seen enough Game of Thrones to understand what you're talking about. All right, so,
just make sure.
Oh, dude, the curator had nothing on these assholes, dude. They just did not. Because, okay, so a leak of their build actually found itself in the hands of rival modders.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
And there's a leak. There's a spy among
there's
them.
There's a spy, dude.
There's a mole!
Oof.
Red wedding video game stuff.
Yep. And the two teams began a game with the second team choosing to do their best to get the game working and functioning as close to the original version as possible. So they're dual modding it. Oof. The community was now split, actually, because of this. So things got so bad that Alzheimer straight up just left the scene, having achieved what he wanted to do before shit hit the fan. And it was about to. The community was at war, toxicity was the name of the game, and people absolutely resented the team at I Got a Shotgun, which was now without, of course, their head boy, Alzheimer. The leader, Gemini, would later refer to himself as the quote-unquote professional asshole.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
He understands it.
I
really like that when people just really lean into mm-hmm. the fact that they're assholes.
Oh, yeah.
I do it all the time.
At the height of this turmoil, though, when things were the worst, a lone eBay listing popped up with a collection of old PlayStation items, including some dev kits. One, which came paired with a copy of the fabled Resident Evil 1.5.
There is another.
There's another!
There is another!
At first, it was thought to be a fake, but upon looking at the screenshots, one stood out that did not match anything the team at I Got a Shotgun or Capcom had ever released. It was a new section of the game and was promptly purchased for...
Purchased?
Purchased.
Purchased?
The purchased. for $2,000 by Richard Mandel. In 2013, Mandel undercut Gemini and his team by releasing the pure build of Resident Evil 1.5 to the internet. And the cheers of the fandom who have been waiting for years. Of course, since the days of the Land of Bioflames. I got a shotgun, believing their build was being shopped around, added a team member for their attempt at selling a version to gullible users. After the leak was made, has made its way online, of course. So yeah, this guy was peddling his, he was asking people for money and he would just give it to him. And he's like, dude, this is a community fucking build. Of course, they released a PR statement talking about this user and outing him. And attached to this statement was an unfinished copy of their version of Resident Evil 1.5, which you can play right the fuck now. So both I Got a Shotgun and the pure build are now public. Yeah.
Do you
Are they both vastly different from one another?
They're a little different.
I was gonna say, dude, which one is the one that YouTuber cover that we saw? The,
That I Got a Shotgun build.
That's the I Got a Shotgun, build.
Okay. Yeah, because the 40% is incomplete.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Let's see.
Okay. Moving on.
Epilogue.
The aftermath.
Dun dun dun.
The 15-year journey was finally over, and there were clearly some casualties.
Well, didn't somebody die?
Yeah, okay, so there's a couple casualties,
NDAs can't be, like, maintained post-mortem.
And yeah, I think the only, the real casualty of this story so far is these fucking names, dude.
Or is that the triumph of this story? There's not a whole lot of triumphs.
Oh, we're going to talk about it, don't worry.
Okay. Richard Mando eventually released his book, The Hunt for Resident Evil 1.5.
The Hunt for Red October.
In 2019.
Complete with Sean Connery.
Tom Clancy's Resident Evil 1.5.
Oh, I was going to try Sean Connery.
Do it!
It's Resident Evil. There you go.
That was good.
She almost became a Jill Shot. I killed James.
That was a good one. So that book was released in 2019, though not without controversy. Some hailed the book while others felt the author failed to distance himself from his part of the story.
What?
Mandela!
He is currently being sued for some statements made in the book and is battling cancer.
Jesus Christ!
This game is just marked tragedy.
It's cursed.
It's cursed. Yeah,
it's like that fucking book from The Evil Dead that they decided to just unlock.
All right, here we go, dude. So,
For sure.
So, Mr. Cockburn.
Yeah.
Yeah, our boy.
Whose original leaker at GameFan fueled the hunt for Resident Evil 1.5, was finally able to break back into the gaming industry after 12 years. In 2009, he took a position with Naughty Dog. And worked on games such as Uncharted and The Last of Us.
Yep.
All right.
He is also a Christian minister in training. He remains remorseful for what happened with Resident Evil 2, and people still ask him about it to this day.
Oh, people just like go up to him and it's just like, "You're the guy who originally
Cockburn."
Yeah. Hey, Cockburn.
Now, what the fuck were you thinking, huh? Who's your boy? Who's the guy?
Actually, you know what? I don't really think... I mean, yeah, he leaked it, but I think this whole thing falls more to his fucking asshole friend.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, for sure.
Unnamed dude that is...
That would have, like... This whole thing would have never happened had that one friend
like, kept his fucking mouth shut.
He's probably still on the internet just fucking laid back like that fat South Park guy.
He's just all
chips on his fucking belly and shit.
I got an old copy of Pokemon.
I mean, this is just a lesson on, like, be careful on who you give...
Oh, yeah,
but also be a good friend, and if somebody gives you an advanced copy of something awesome, don't fucking tell anybody. Just know that that person that gave it to you is trusting you with something very important. Keep it to yourself.
My only friends are on the forum.
Gross.
So not much is known about the fates of Gemini or Azair, though their parting quotes to game journalist Benjamin Burns of Eurogamer.
Benjamin Burns, great name.
Do a pretty good job of telling you where their headspace is at. Gemini states his only regret was making their progress public. Their progress build, I guess? Or no, are you talking about the progress of the actual game?
Yeah, or whatever, like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Their whole progress on acquiring the game. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that was his only regret. He told Burns, quote, "Work in the dark, don't tell anybody about what you're doing.
Well, duh. I mean, that's just like, come on.
I'm Gemini.
Last words of Gemini.
Gemini out.
Yeah, work in the dark. Don't tell anyone what you're doing. It sounds like someone who definitely works in a basement.
And to sum up for Al-Zahir, he simply puts it, quote, be patient, but most importantly of all, be trustworthy, end quote.
Fucking Stark,
people,
dude.
Yeah, these are people who have been, like, fucked by life.
Seriously.
All right, dude. So his name was Al-Zahir Stark then, right?
And yeah, dude, I know, right?
Gemini was
got
like
taken
Gemini
out.
Lannister, I guess.
Gemini Lannister. I like that.
The team at I Got a Shotgun is still working on improving the 40% version of Resident Evil 1.5. Though the community is often split on which version of the game you should try if you ever want to indulge yourself. According to many involved, the fabled 80% build still exists somewhere in the world. Capcom itself very much has that version, but it is also possible it exists in the hands of some private collectors out there. Until more is known, the search continues.
That's it.
And the curator still lives.
The curator still lives.
The curator's still out there.
He's still out there looking
for that. He's like, over chaos.
I must find everything out about this horrible people podcast.
Who found me?
Who speaks my name?
So wasn't that a riveting tale, huh, guys?
Extremely.
That was crazy.
Isn't that weird? All for...
Here's my thoughts.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Let's just start it off. What are
your thoughts?
Yeah. Okay. Thoughts, James.
This is my final thought.
okay.
Clearly, this game was never supposed to be released.
No.
So why the fuck would you chase it so hard? Resident Evil 2 is awesome. That's what it was supposed to be. Leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't go and be like, oh, they have an alternate version of God of War, you know, the new one. I wouldn't go search for it. I'd be like, why? God of War already rules. I don't need... You know, people. Why I don't understand why people were so obsessed with this alternate version.
In general, people want what they can't have.
What they can't have.
Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. I get that. But I mean, like, Resident Evil 2 was already out.
Yeah.
So who the hell played that and go, you know what? I want a different, better version of Resident Evil 2. Resident Evil 2 was already awesome.
I want the different, shittier version that no one wanted to release.
Exactly.
Well, the thing is, it goes back to these game magazines. They spent over a year hyping the 1.5 version. So, kids, people who
I was
going to
say, back,
like,
in the 90s, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of stuff going on, so I'm sure you find that one thing, you got to latch onto it.
Yeah.
So, I get that.
Yeah,
but
people were, like, hyped for that, though.
Yeah. Wasn't it, like, the whole job of game magazines to just hype shit, even if it was shit?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They have to hype everything. Mm-hmm.
And these young people, very impressionable, this was a part of their psyche developing at the time, and they're like, wait a second. And then the other build of the real 2 let people know early on, the hardcore people, like, hey... That old thing you thought about is completely gone. So now people want to know what the fuck's going on.
For sure.
I kind of even goes to movie scripts nowadays too, right?
Yes.
You get scripts leaked of movies, you're like, fuck, that sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. But that's,
but
I think,
like,
that's, I don't know.
You know,
okay,
but this is the game version to where people are like, you know, a movie script, if it's leaked and it gets rewritten and all that, you yourself can never make that movie. But a game, people can go and be like, fuck, I want to play that, and then we'll complete it. And this is what I wanted to see, or something, you know. Like
my thought on that is, it's different because obviously the guy that wrote the script that was supposed to be Rise of Skywalker, that's different because everybody was like, Rise of Skywalker sucked,
yeah,
and we want to know what it could have been.
Yeah.
Whereas like Resident Evil 2 was already out and amazing. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to go back and, like, exactly like Alex said, find the shittier version? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
And even with like movie scripts, like, people can fake those. Like, it happened with Scream 2. Like, they purposely
fake. Yeah, they throw out fake scripts. That's
like,
right.
Yeah, like, that can be very easily faked. And, you can release, like, little tidbits and stuff to, like, appease the masses.
But you can't reprogram a whole alpha version
of
the
game.
And then
take it back because it's already there. Mm-hmm. The framework and the coding and everything is already there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think these magazines and stuff, I'm sure they had, I've never looked it up, but I'm sure they have, like, the actual gameplay articles, like, gameplay talk in there, right?
Yeah.
Because
talk about the gameplay and features and everything, dude.
Because that build of this 1.5,
mm-hmm,
from what I've seen in that video, that YouTube video of
Avalanche
Reviews, it looks interesting as fuck. Like,
it's different.
It's
very different.
But at the same time, it's like zombies had limb damage to where if you shoot their legs, they'll
fall.
they'll mm-hmm. fall, but like they'll lose still their crawl legs
towards you. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You shoot, like, there was, like, what? What do you say? Like, a fucking 50 types of guns? And
like, you could actually craft ammo and do things like that. Yeah, yeah,
and it was just different. Like, the save system wasn't typewriters, it was computers.
And that's mm-hmm. and that's interesting, and too, because a lot of that...
got scrapped.
A lot of yes. that, well, a lot of that technology within the game is something that came way later.
It is, so yeah, it's exactly.
That,
yeah.
It's interesting, like, the limb damage thing, that's something that we saw, like, way later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, nobody...
We see it's 2005.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, way later, five. So it would have been interesting to yeah. have that then. And clearly they were onto something, but they just didn't get the ball rolling the right way.
Yeah, and I think, but that, like, that's why people got so rabid about it, is they're reading it in a magazine. Shit, like, they can blow off arms, and, like,
yeah.
And then Resident Evil 2, when it came out, there was no type of limb damage like that.
Right.
So they were mm-hmm. like, they almost felt cheated.
Yeah, I get that. But, and then, like, to have all of that said in a magazine,
yeah.
and then compare it to Resident Evil 1, which is the only one that was out.
The only one that was out, that's yeah. true. The only one that was
so
out.
So that one was more linear in the combat, so to hear all these new things, yeah, then I get that. Damn you, curator.
Yeah. Well, that, and that's another thing, too. Like, it's all visual, right? Yeah. Resident Evil 1.5 looks way different than 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, it looks significantly different because you got, you know, of course, the different characters, but the setting was a lot more modern.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, the classic-looking, kind of, like, almost residential mansion-y...
Right. Creepiness.
Yeah. Yeah, the police station. The PlayStation
looked, like... not futuristic, but like more modern.
It looked like something like a Terminator.
Yeah,
like it looked like a Terminator police station. It was weird. So yeah, like there's clearly a, like, if you were following it at the time, I can see why you could be like, well, what happened?
Yeah,
right.
And of course, it being the internet, you get the most fanatical motherfuckers in one little fucking pocket. Yeah,
that's even more irresponsible for the magazine writers to be hyping something up that was never going to get released anyway.
Well, they didn't know.
They didn't know it though at the time.
They only knew because of fucking Cockburn. Really? That's it.
Damn you, Cockburn.
It's all his fault.
I think those assholes at the little, you know, with their fancy names, like Al Zahir and Gemini Curator, I don't think they helped it either.
No, hell no. Of course they didn't. No.
Their little elitist attitudes of, oh, yeah. I have this, you don't.
It's peasants. A whole drama in and of itself. Like, this truly, like, did end up shaping up like a Game of Thrones episode.
Right?
Well, I mean, that goes back to what I was talking about before. There, you can do something like that and not be a dick about it. There was a group of game developers that got together and... tried to remake Knights of the Old Republic, which is one of the best games ever made, but using the Unreal 4 engine, making it look prettier and more characters and more stuff mm-hmm. to do.
Yeah.
And they got scrapped by Disney. Disney stepped in and stopped it because they took over Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it sucks because I was really looking forward to it, because that's one of my all-time favorite games.
Right.
And they were going to release it for free. They did all this work.
Yeah.
They were just going to release
put their
it,
time into it
as being a fan and being like, you all need to play this, which is what those guys should have done, is be like, look, this is what we have. You all need to experience it. Mm-hmm. Instead, like, let's charge $10,000 or $5,000 and all that.
$125,000.
Yeah. $1 million.
Gain favor with the curator.
Yeah. lay before the curator. Speak your piece.
What do you propose, sir? I think we can make the version a little bit better. Leave my presence.
Leave this place.
Banish him.
But no, like, the whole thing, like, you're totally right. They had, like, this, like, ethical opportunity to create something and, like, release it to, like, fans
mm-hmm.
for, like, the better.
And, exactly.
Like, and they didn't because
they even went to grab the game because they were fans and they wanted to know. And then they just hoarded over it.
Well, there's actually also one quote, too, that might put a little more light on this. I didn't include it in the outline. But what's his face?
Drop of the ball, man.
I know, I fucked up.
You're being Al Zahir right now.
No, it is from Al Zahir. He's like,
and you're being.
He actually made a point in one of his interviews. He's like, I kind of understand where the curator is coming from because of what happened to the Moshito person. It's like, he's still probably getting the same death threats and, like, insults and whatever. And instead of, like, acquiescing to these people, he became bitter. And he's like, okay, well, if you're going to be this, like, rabid at me, then I'm going to fuck with you. Because I got this shit.
Yeah.
But then it's just, like, I mean...
What do you do?
But, I mean, I guess. I mean, it's that whole, you know... die a hero.
Yeah.
Right? This is, like, really, like, King of Kong-ish as well.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Oh. It super is.
Yep.
Well, that brings me to a question, because we've already talked about how what makes this kind of so captivating, but do you guys have the urge to try this version yourself?
No.
No.
I do. I do.
I got my fill on that video. of when the guy...
What's in there?
Yeah, the Avalanche Abuse guy. He did a whole retrospect of all the Resident Evil games, and it's, I mean...
He's good. He's fucking good.
Anthony turned me on to him, and they're just amazing. But this guy actually, he put the 1.5 on his computer, and he played through it, and his outcome was the same. He basically said, yeah. He's like, no. I mean, if you're a hardcore fan, sure, try it, but the game's unfinished. There's bugs, like, and he said he saw potential, but
it's unfinished.
Yeah, it's unfinished, and like, I guess if you're a hardcore Resident Evil fan, you can. I mean, it's worth it to try it, but don't expect to beat it. And like, yeah, you know, like it's not a full game.
It's 40%. It's 40%, and that's why people are like freaking out about this fucking 80% version of the game, which it's out there. It's confirmed to be out there.
Yeah, I barely play finished video games.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, it's true. I just, you know.
Okay, so actually, this is a fun one. So between Richard Mandel, who was the final person to leak the game, the real one, Al Zaire, Gemini, and the curator, how do you feel about each of the people involved in the story?
They're all dickheads.
They're all dickheads. But if you were also, think about this, if you were part of the community at this time, who would you side with?
Nobody. They're all dickheads.
No?
Like Alex said, they had a moral obligation to release the game to everybody because everybody was a fan and wanted it, and they didn't, so screw all of them. I don't side with any of them.
If I put money on that, part of the 3,000 or the, you know, the...
And then you got screwed.
And then it's a fucking investment, and then, yeah. Like,
and then you never get to see it.
Being held hostage. Yep.
Exactly.
But people had put a little more money into it.
Yep. I'd be like, nope.
I would have single one of them.
I would have anything saved. I dig Al Zaire. I know his intentions were pure. Yeah. He just was broker than everybody else. And was unable to. Yeah.
It's like he's truly like good intentions, but bad methodology.
Oh, absolutely.
Like he wanted to do the right thing, but like he just ended up like just doing everything wrong.
He like had to work with some nefarious folks. And because of that, he was overwhelmed. He was out of his goddamn element. Yeah.
Get out of your element, Donnie.
But yeah, that's exactly what ended up happening. And he just, and then because of how everyone treated him and like he was just getting like how he was getting like death threats and shit. Like, I understand why he became bitter. I just
That's the curator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the curator.
And well, I mean, him too. Shit.
The Gemini.
All dickheads, dude.
All of them.
Yeah, the Gemini guy and the curator.
He's an asshole. He likes being an asshole. The Gemini dude. Like, he's just like, fuck everyone.
He's Joffrey, dude. He's fucking Joffrey.
He is Joffrey.
But like, the thing too, like, alright, you call yourself the curator. What I don't understand too is like, you know, these video game collectors, if they buy something, they usually buy it to take care of it.
Yeah.
So it seems like this guy just bought it to
hold it over.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, looky what I got.
Which isn't a real collector.
Okay, this is a little side thing. That's how I feel about the guy that bought that mythical Wu-Tang album.
Oh, Skrelly?
Yeah.
Skrelly?
Well, he was he's already a piece of shit anyway.
He's fucked in his head.
He bought the fabled Wu-Tang album, and then he won't release it.
Mm-hmm. Martin Skrelly, man.
Here's a weird little... caveat to that. The only way that the album can return to Wu-Tang is if them or Bill Murray steal it. That's in the contract.
Like, steal it?
Steal it from him.
Like, break into his home?
Yes, like, pull out a caper and take it back. And they can legally own it after that. I'm not kidding. This is legit in the contract.
I want to, like... I don't know.
I
want like an Ocean's 11.
Yes, that's exactly.
They need a reality show of Wu-Tang and Bill Murray going and stealing their album back.
After the fact, they got to get it and document it until that point.
So does it have to be everyone, Bill Murray included?
Yes. It says Wu-Tang Clan and Bill Murray.
Like, so Bill Murray has to be.
It's and Bill Murray. Because like he's apparently best friends with RZA and GZA and hangs out with them all the time, and so he got included into the contract.
Right.
Yeah.
What happens when Bill Murray dies?
We'll leave that to the
Lord.
Let's not talk about that. That's never gonna happen.
I'm just curious.
If there was only one person to save on the planet, it would be Bill Murray.
This episode's dark enough.
Seriously. Oh my god.
Yeah, I want a reality show. I want Ocean's 11 type antics. I want all of it.
Oh my god!
I want them breaking into that douchebag's home.
There's also a meme, and it's Bill Murray behind the bar pouring tequila shots, and it says, "While out on a night in the town with Jizz and RZA Wu-Tang." I was like, "Wait, what?" Bill Murray stood up at the bar they were at and got behind the bar and started serving everybody tequila shots, no matter what they came up and ordered.
Jeez.
So they come up and be like, let me get a daiquiri. Here you go, you get a tequila shot. And I was like, well, he is Bill Murray. He can pretty much do whatever the fuck he wants to do.
Oh my God.
Bill Murray's amazing, is what we're trying to say.
He's the internet boy before the internet. Like, for sure. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, a little sidetrack from that.
No, that's good.
Oh, a good Wu-Tang sidetrack every now and then.
I appreciate
again.
It.
Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with, you know this.
And that heist will make for a great episode at some point, I'm sure.
That'd be great.
Fuck Martin Shkreli, though. Like, serious. That guy...
Oh, he's a horrible person.
Oh, dude. But you can tell that, like, lust for power.
Right.
Yeah. Like, and control.
Well, I mean, he bought the album for, like, $1.2 million or some ridiculous amount of money. Yeah.
And they didn't know who they were dealing with.
Yeah, they
didn't. No, they didn't. They have any fucking idea. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I hate it here.
Speaking of crazy people, how do you feel about the fan base for this? How do you feel about the fan base for Resident Evil 1.5? What is your take?
I was going to say, look across the table over there, Mr. Nintendo shirt. That's the fan base.
I'm not going to lie. I heard about this a long time ago, and this is why I wanted to cover it.
I mean, like I said, if it were now, like today's times, oh, it'd be much, much worse on everybody that was involved.
So much more horrible.
It would be terrifying. Like, people would be getting, like, swatted. Like,
absolutely.
You know, like...
DOSed.
Yeah.
They'd have the whole curator's fucking, like, information. They're like, I have a family!
Yeah. Well, here it is. Go for it.
He's like, no one would be anonymous in this situation. Like, all these people who are operating under pseudonyms in this situation, like, none of that would happen. Like, it would have been like, and then 2 months later, we found out Gemini is like...
Yeah. There's a guy named Chris Brown in here who didn't get his ass kicked.
But, like, all of this, like, this entire situation would be handled very, very differently, but a lot more aggressively and probably a lot more dangerously.
Oh, yeah.
If you want another reference for another fucked up gaming situation, watch King of Kong.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, dude.
Gemini reminds me of Billy Mitchell, for sure.
Oh, that's Flynn's boy right there.
Nah, fucking hate Billy Mitchell.
Billy Mitchell's an asshole.
Yeah, no.
Fuck Billy Mitchell. You gotta watch that. It's very similar to this.
It's a documentary about a guy that's chasing the world record for Donkey Kong. Arcade game. And gets it, but then the guy who was the number one does some really shady shit.
I watched it on back when Netflix actually still delivered DVDs. That's how I
watched it. Yeah, that's how I watched it.
That's how I watched it too, back in the day.
See, you see this.
Back in the day, Netflix used to come on discs in the mail.
And you could only get 3 at a time, depending on the.
And there was no streaming.
Yes.
And it was, it was called Netflix because of the internet. Netflix. Had to order.
Now the mail is there's outside
see,
your house.
You see, kids, before Trump destroyed the post office.
Before the USPS completely disintegrated. God damn it.
Oh, let's not get into actual 2020 shit. That would hurt.
It's really dark. It's real dark right now.
Oh.
But, I think it would have gone very, very dark. Very, very fast if this had happened.
I mean, a much quicker story, for sure.
I mean, it would have been a shorter story. Because then, someone would have, found a way to, hack into, a computer. I mean, the one thing I will say that, helped with this story is that because everything was still on physical discs.
Yes.
It helped.
And this is the Wild West of the internet. People weren't figuring out how to do the shit they do now. Yeah. And, it took them years to get doing shit like that.
For sure.
Oh, my God. So, 80% build, though. You think we'll ever see it?
No.
I don't think so, either.
I don't know. I want to put my coins into the maybe column, because no one thought we'd ever see that.
The 40, you're right.
Well, no one ever thought we'd see that PlayStation / Super Nintendo hybrid.
That's right. Oh, when that came out, dude.
And people are
buying
them on eBay now.
That's true.
It's 20-some years later, but people are getting them. So, maybe eventually, but...
So with that, in 4 years, then...
Maybe your boy Hideki will over there will fuck
the E.T. game.
Oh, the E.T. game, too. All buried in Roswell.
Yeah.
In a pit in a landfill in New Mexico. That's right. Yeah.
You don't know that story? Oh, it's a good one.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a story there.
There's a huge story there.
Yeah.
Actually a documentary that covered it.
E.T. almost killed the gaming industry.
You did. Yeah. E.T. almost killed
E.T.
the entire
almost sunk
industry.
The entire gaming industry.
Look at Alex. You can't see it, listeners, but Alex's face is blown away right now.
Alex is like, damn, E.T. should have done it.
I'll send you the YouTube documentary about
Please
it.
Do.
It's really good.
Please do. I'm fascinated.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. It's like, holy shit. Like,
yep.
What the fuck?
Yeah. In
a landfill in New Mexico.
I mean, there's a lot in a lot of landfills in New Mexico.
Oh, but there's...
Plus, there's aliens, so...
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Well, E.T.'s an alien.
But oh, my God, it comes full circle.
Did not put that together.
The curator!
It's his fault.
But I don't think... bringing it back. I think the only way we're going to get the 80% build is if Capcom releases it.
Okay.
But you got to think about, like, Star Fox 2 never got released until recently when they did the Super NES Classic.
True.
It finally got released.
Actually, I'm going to bring in... I'm going to revise my answer real quick.
Because and they could maybe add a later... Maybe, like, Resident Evil 10... Here's the
downloadable
1.5 with the
right. It
download.
Might be like a download.
Yeah, like here's what it looked like. Check it out.
That
happened,
if that doesn't happen though, right now, if you're paying attention to the internet, Nintendo's old early builds of Mario 64, Star Fox, Zelda, all their old NES games, Pokemon are being leaked to the internet right now.
Yeah,
actually,
I heard about that.
And these are the same shit as 1.5, scrap builds, things like that happening. And if a company like Nintendo, who's very secure and does not let this shit fly, can have that happen to him. It could happen to Capcom, too.
Oh, it could happen to anybody. I mean, look, there's so many data miners out there that find...
Yeah.
So that's how leaks happen, dude.
But, they're like, it's literally... It. Nintendo's never had this happen ever. Mm-hmm. And it's happening right now.
Yeah, because everyone's home and everyone's bored.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. If there's a time or a situation where this could happen...
This would be it.
And as powerful as the technology is now and how powerful hackers are now, of course it's happening now.
Oh. Yeah, of course.
And it's going to get more powerful.
Yeah, exactly. It's only going to get stronger and stronger and their skills are going to get better and better. Mm-hmm. Like those guys that Anonymous, like, hacking everything all the time.
Yeah, it's only because people are bored and, like, have so much time on their hands that they have the ability to even do this right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I only think it'll get released, because if Capcom hasn't released it yet, I don't think they ever really intend to, unless it's, many, many years down the line when they're just, like, exactly what you said. Like, if it's like, oh, if you download, like, when you get Resident Evil, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. we're gonna...
10 or 15. Yeah. Here's 1.5.
Here's 1.5.
Like, 15 would make sense. 1.5, 15.
That would, that would be cool. And I think...
Capcom, do it.
2030.
We don't have an issue with the curator, okay?
Work in marketing. It's a good idea. I think it would be like a cool little like treat to throw to the people.
My money's on
here's a bone. Pick at it.
My money's on a user coming out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
and like he's gonna fucking find it. He's gonna release it, and then at the end he's gonna sign it. Son of the curator.
Oh my
god. That's my money right there.
So you're going with the continuation of the
legacy?
Yes.
He's like, I must continue my father's work.
He's gonna say son of the curator.
I am the composer, son of the curator.
Here you go. The curator 1.5. Boom, my god.
I like that. Curator 1.5, I dig it.
Or whoever the Gemini like duplicated or the
that guy's
the anti Gemini is gonna release it and mm-hmm. I don't know.
No one's having sex with the Gemini.
Well, I don't know the signs, but whoever the anti Gemini is, I know
the anti Gemini.
What's the anti Gemini?
Is there an opposite?
I know who's the opposite.
Is there a counter to Gemini?
I mean, like on like
astrological,
like an astrological.
Yeah,
opposite.
Yeah. What's the opposite of the
Libra?
Cancer.
No, it's the Geminis, or it's Gemini and Cancer. So
the other one.
Yeah, that's who's gonna release it. I don't know. They're gonna make up a cool name. And it's gonna be the opposite of the Gemini.
We're being invaded by Sagittarius.
I'm sorry, I'm no more hip to that stuff, but
I don't know anything about it either.
I guess the opposite would be Sagittarius.
All of a sudden, they're gonna kick down the door. You know too much.
He's biding his time.
We are the sons of Sagittarius. We've come for Anthony Fuentes.
Oh my god!
They're gonna carve that symbol in his head.
I'll be like, take him.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you, but later, dude.
That's funny.
Oh, that's hilarious. So, who won? Did anybody win?
The fans won, dude.
The fans won after so many years?
The fans, I guess, yeah. If you can play it now, then the fans do win because it's out there.
But even then, that only happened because someone was just like, fuck this, we're just releasing it. Like,
which it should have been happened.
It should have happened from the fucking get-go.
Yeah, it should have happened right from the start.
To be honest, I don't think anybody wins until we see 80% build. I think we got like a pittance, 40%. Like
right,
it's whatever.
They literally like gave everyone crumbs, and they were like, "Thank you, sir."
Like, wow, we searched forever for this piece of shit.
Yeah, and like it's weird because like a lot of game companies keep doing that, or they keep getting released. So, for instance, the Legacy of Kain series and Soul Reaver, that collective world, there was a game in development that was open world, but set in that time, vampires and whatnot. And they released like the 40% cut of it. And
really?
I watched the video and I was like, man, that looks amazing. And I was like, why the hell did you release it? We're not going to be able to play it anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't want to. Don't release it. Then,
don't hurt me.
Because then I'll turn into one of those rabid people and be like, give it to me.
I could have been more.
Just let me in.
Where's the curator?
When we need you, sir.
Where are you?
So you've come to Gemini, eh?
Sorry. That was good. I like that.
You can't just fucking hit the table.
Oh, how the turntables. Jesus fucking Christ.
You know who won?
Who won? Who won?
Mr. Cockburn.
Yeah, dude. Cockburn works at Naughty Dog, dude.
Because he ended
up... He's at Naughty Dog.
Yeah, because he ended up coming back. Mm-hmm. So, and he worked on, you know, The Last of Us.
He
so.
Got fucked over by his
and
friend.
And Uncharted, which is an amazing series.
He got
series.
Fucked over by his friend, yeah.
He fucking went AWOL, I mean, MIA for 12 years and then came back and now works at one of the biggest... Best video game studios.
Mm-hmm. Dude, he's Gandalf the White, came back to help out in Helm's Deep.
Hats off to you, Cockburn. Yeah.
And now his name shall be known throughout the internet. Cockburn.
Hashtag Cockburn.
Andy Cocky.
Andy Cocky.
That's going to be Anthony's fucking arena name.
Yeah, that's the arena tonight. I'm
there. Andy Cocky.
Andy Cocky.
Anyone else you guys are playing with is just going to be like,
what does this mean?
Gosh.
Oh, you'll find out this week.
We're going to make a new meme like, this is called the curator.
He's not the hero we deserve, but the one we need right now.
Yeah. Honestly, the curator, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Birds right. And their handles.
Last question. Very broad. But what does this story say about discourse on the internet and perhaps human nature in general? What does it say about people?
Well, I mean, it was 1997.
It's a philosophical. We got to get there, James. Hit us with it.
And people are still the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, listening to the story, I'm like, oh, it's cool that, like, internet trolls haven't changed since 2007.
And then not only that, but people haven't changed either because they'll send death threats to anybody that they...
Don't agree with?
Don't agree with, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So. And for no matter how small the community is,
and data miners, and data miners are out there, and hackers are out there, so it's literally the same thing, but just at a heightened state now.
Mm-hmm.
There is this thing that I was listening to about how... like biologists and like evolutionary biologists basically and people who were like super super pro internet back in the day have basically just like agreed that
I've seen that
yes. Basically have just like agreed that like us as humans
can't handle it, we weren't
ready for the internet like
well you gotta think about how you gathered information before like for us when we went to the you see kids you'd have to go back to, you'd have to go to the library and use the Dewey Decimal System. What's the Dewey Decimal System? Well,
Little do you know,
it was a catalog of cards where you had to use that to find a book, then read the book, and that's where you got your information.
And now, like, literally, like, three times during this episode, like, we were just like, what's that?
And I was
just
like... And then you Google it.
Yeah. And then I learned.
Yeah. And but before that, we had to have steps, because we used to ask Jeeves before that. And that was stupid.
And Jeeves was horrible.
He was bad. He's like, what? What is this like? I don't want to see that video. Jeeves.
Jeeves, please.
Whoa.
I did not see Two Girls, One Cup. Jeeves sucks.
But yeah, so like us as like humans are not evolved enough to handle the internet. Because once like, I mean, like not me, but like in general, a lot of people, if you're not like emotionally mature enough to handle the internet, like the second you get behind a computer screen, like you don't comprehend the concept that like there are other people on the other side.
Right.
And then that's...
Anonymity.
Well, yeah. I mean, look how messy the world is right now. And that, I think, honestly, has a lot to do with the internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been weaponized.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
And like how Facebook has algorithms to like tailor... Yeah, to feed you videos that are tailor-made to what you believe.
Yeah, that's my job, actually. Yeah,
my job.
So you're the curator.
Yeah.
Son of Sagittarius.
Son of Sagittarius.
No, I think, though, that, like, if that, like, nowadays, if that were to happen, or, you know, people nowadays, there are small pockets of fans that I can see, if this were to happen again nowadays, that they would actually get it done, like James said, with the Knights of the Old Republic people.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it just all depends on the community.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's some communities that are really, really, really tight-knit, and like, they're like, just, you know, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we're going to get this done, which is cool. That's how it should be. Yeah. But then you have, you know, like you said, elitists that think, oh, I have the unreleased build. You
will do what I have the power.
But I can see that too. Like, I think the data miners now would be like, screw that. Screw these corporations. Yeah, we're going to grab the game and we're going to release it for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's the difference between back then and now is now people, because gaming has become such a huge thing.
It's more culturally relevant. Yeah, yeah, so absolutely.
They would release it for the benefit of the fans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the only difference.
Well, they think about the situation where they, by the end of the story, people who are working, I Got a Shotgun, were selling versions of the game out there.
Right.
All it takes is for one nice person to be like, yeah, I'll pay whatever you want right now. By the way, here it is, everybody.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But this is a part this is a part of the internet where it wasn't quite the community wasn't that big.
Yeah.
So they were still like, I have the power now.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was.
Yeah.
But this story nowadays, much bigger numbers. Yeah. Like, at some point you're gonna get somebody that's like, here you go. Do what you will, you know?
Do with it what you will.
Do with it what you will.
Like, they're like, here's a version of Ocarina of Time, and instead you play as Ganondorf. They'll be like, oh my god!
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's happening right now. Like, Nintendo shit got leaked like hard.
That's crazy.
Because they just discovered Luigi in Super Mario 64.
Oh, what?
Yeah, they discovered him. Oh, and that line...
To the internet!
There was, real quick, though, for all the nerds out there, that line, when you throw Bowser into the bomb, when Mario says, so long, gay Bowser, it's real.
What?!
It is.
I'm sorry. What?
Yep. You never played Mario 64?
I mean, I did, but like...
When Mario throws Bowser, he says, everybody assumed, so long, gay Bowser.
It sounds exactly like that.
They have the uncompressed audio files.
Oh my god!
And they put it on Twitter. And guess what?
It's
so long, gay Bowser. Find it right now. I'm telling you.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So Mario.
Maybe needs Bowser to be canceled, is gay.
Dude. Mario needs to be canceled then.
Cancel Mario.
Cancel Mario.
I was born like the princess. Go! No, but I think
what maybe people... Mario was the bad guy and Bowser was the gay guy and Princess Peach was his friend and he was trying to rescue Princess Peach from her.
He'd been all aggro. Because
he was a toxic masculinity guy.
Yep.
Boom!
A toxic masculinity guy.
With that bushy.
That's what I said. I nailed it, right?
Yeah.
I'm woke.
Oh my god. No.
Mario,
they were saying. He's saying it like the accent. So long, Bowser. But like the G and the E. Like made gay.
Mario. Damn, the 90s were wild.
90s were some shit, dude.
90s were wild.
And now we have to cancel Mario.
Now we're gonna have to cancel.
You know what to do, internet.
You know what to do. They look back at his other games and like, yeah, and you know what? He didn't even look at Wario in the eyes.
Do your thing, gay Twitter.
Oh my god.
That's crazy.
There's no rating here, but...
Well, no, I'm just like, I'm thinking like more about your very philosophical question about like internet, but it's just like thinking about like how it's like changed over time, and even though like we as like a people are not ready for the internet, but we still have it, so now we have to deal with the consequences of it.
Yep.
I like that some people now are just like, get rid of it. Like, we can't handle it. We're not ready for it.
We should have been spoon-fed this shit. Not all the information at once.
Well, like,
Jeeves!
Again, like, I'm thinking about, like, being... Because I'm younger than you guys. You see kids!
I see kids.
No. I, like, growing up, like, staunchly on the internet, capital T, capital I, like, the internet, it did not help me, like, emotionally as a child. Like,
I would imagine that.
It didn't. Like, it gave me a very warped sense of a lot.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And I had to work really hard to be like, oh, that's not how people are in real life.
That's so weird, though, because it's like, it's a double-edged sword because you get all the information, but it's like, okay, you curate it now, though. Like, how do I do that? I'm a person.
Like, having, like, a perfectly curated world at your disposal at all times, especially when you're like 16 years old and you're barely like getting a concept of who you are as a fucking person, like it's a horrible echo chamber to put yourself in.
Oh, yeah,
like, where you can surround yourself with people who like think exactly the same way as you. Thankfully for me, I surrounded myself with like not like racist.
That's good.
but there are people who do, like, mm-hmm. like, you know, like it's like a whole thing, and then you get stuck in that echo chamber, and then like you grow up and your brain kind of solidifies with those beliefs. So that's like true. It makes sense that
that's
now
a good point.
We have people who like basically never had their beliefs challenged for the mm-hmm. entirety of their childhood.
See, and that's the weird thing too, because I think in the era we grew up in, they weren't quite that specialized. Like, yeah. the internet back in the 04, 03 days was still like, well, you generally like this thing, but you're still going to get a lot of different viewpoints in that. You can't quite get as fine-tuned as you could now. You just couldn't.
Yeah.
So you were kind of forced to explore the internet with everyone.
Well, like, I remember we talked about this a couple episodes ago, like, when you were on, like, Reddit, and it was, like, the Wild West days
of
Reddit.
Oh, way back in the day.
Yep. I was on Tumblr.
Yeah. And, like, different worlds.
And it was completely different.
Different worlds. 100%.
And, like...
We had to go and make friends our old-fashioned way at internet cafes.
Internet cafes.
Or forums or, like, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, I mean, I did that too, but, like, a lot of the friends that I made were, like, online through very, like, I would follow, like, people on Tumblr who, like, I would follow one person and then I would see who, like, they were talking to. And if I liked that person, that's how I would, like, branch out.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's very, like, that's how you create an echo chamber of people who think the exact same way because you're not getting... alternative viewpoints.
And sometimes the extreme goes with the top on that one.
We had a lot of different viewpoints in the internet cafe days because even though it's
internet. We know we did that like 100%.
Even though it's the internet, you're still in a physical place with people, so you can't really be a dick because someone will come up and punch you in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Because you're there with them.
Good old Alien Empire internet cafe, dude. Yeah, like, nobody gave a fuck.
So, yeah, you can't be a dick to people because they'll literally stand up and say, who said that? And then, you know, they'll figure it out. Someone will rat them out and say, this guy said it. And then next thing you know,
that's his username. That's his username over there.
Someone will get punched in the back
of the
head.
That's the key
rating. Seriously?
Oh, yeah, dude.
There was kids that used to break keyboards. There was kids that...
There was this is actually a good UC kid. Please explain that, James.
I never went to internet cafes.
So, internet cafes were basically...
I mean, I know what they are, but, like, please.
Spaces where you rented out computers, but we were...
If you didn't have the internet at home, which
there was a lot of people that didn't.
We only had dial-up.
Dial-up
kids is where you had to actually use your phone line to connect to the internet.
Oh, my fucking God. So, super quick aside, my brother, he just turned 17, like, a week and a half ago. He came to stay with me for a couple of days. Like, okay, turn around, look at the phone jack in my wall.
Okay.
He asked me what it was. And I stopped what I was doing and I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, what is that? And I was like, it's for like a phone. And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, for what? What? And I had to explain. Like,
look at James' face right now, listeners.
You got to go on YouTube and watch the videos of kids trying to work a cassette player.
Oh my God! Have you seen the ones of them trying to play the Game Boy?
No,
they're trying to touch the screens.
Oh, gosh.
Oh man, but I had to explain to him like dial up, and he was just like, "Oh, I understand what dial up is." And I'm like, "You didn't know what that it was in the wall. You don't understand what dial up is."
Yeah. So because of that, the internet cafe is we created actually a really big community within there.
Yeah.
Like a lot of us would go there and play Counter Strike, or we'd go there and play Dota, or we'd go there and play Warcraft, and we'd play everything. And that's kind of like that grew into like a really massive group of people. Actually,
I remember that just back in the days. Yeah.
But nowadays, like this is a good thing too is that my son I was telling him about these, like we used to go and make that's how we made friends is like you're in there with people, live people, even though you're playing online with other people, you're in there with live people all in one room sitting playing video games together having a good time. But like nowadays if you know, he doesn't know that because he plays his Fortnite in his room with no one,
mm-hmm.
but he's playing with his friends in their room. So it's a different experience though, because I told him, I'm like, well, let's put it this way, if my friend was being a jerk to me and he's right there, I can just punch him in the arm or something, right?
Yeah.
Or if there's a kid...
Like, hey, knock it off.
If there was a kid being rude in the in the cafe, people would tell him, like, yeah, shut up. Or
hey,
like, you know,
you need to chill out. Dude.
Yeah,
you need to chill out. Yeah. No, 100%.
And nowadays, in the internet, you're in your room by yourself. You can be who you want to be, and that is... good and bad.
Goes back to the lack of accountability.
And
lack of accountability.
You can be as loud and aggressive as you want, and it's just like, hey, shut up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
that's why I always trip out seeing these videos of people just flipping out over the smallest things in real life.
Because
it's like, you didn't see that back in the day, so to speak. Because if you tried to do that, you would have got handled. Or like he disciplined in some way, you know?
Unless you were on Bioflames.
Oh, dude. I'm going to go look up Bioflames and see if it's still living.
I know, right? Yeah.
Through the fire and the Bioflames.
God damn it. Oh, man. So is that it? Are we good? Mm-hmm. How would you rate the tale of Resident Evil 1.5?
How would I rate the tale? Because obviously I haven't looked at any of the gameplay or anything related to it. I would rate the tale a 5 out of 5. This was a great story. I learned so much. This was also hilarious. Like, you guys were great. Thank you.
Oh my god.
5 out of 5, dude. Because there was a lot of good innuendos.
We had some fun innuendos. Yeah, we had fun. Just some fun storytelling.
I'm going to give it 5 cockburns out of 5.
I hate
I'm going to give it 3 curators out of
5. Only 3?
Only 3. Just because it just made me mad because I know how stupid internet people are.
Okay, that's fair.
And I'm just more mad the guy's not releasing the game because they should have. 3 curators out of 5 only because everybody pissed me off.
My rating is out of... I got nothing.
Out of shotguns.
Out of shotguns. All right, I'll take that.
I'll give it 4.5 out of 13.2.
That is...
And I base that on nothing.
I give it a 1.5.
You just gave us a 5.5.
I know. I wrote it.
Or a 5.
Also, still, but it's fine. Whatever.
You got the claws in them. It's all right.
Season finale next week.
Yes. So, real quick, first of all, thank you guys for joining us. That was awesome.
Absolutely. That was fun.
So glad to be back again so shortly.
Yes, thank you.
The N4L team over here.
Yes. Yeah.
When we talk about gaming, we need N4L, you know?
Very true.
We need that little edge right there.
This was super fun. This was also, I think we mentioned it in the beginning, but this is the highest number of guests we've had on the episode so far.
Increased by one.
Not the highest.
I've been... Fair.
You haven't had a Rike on it.
I know, dude. He's just like, Shin Godzilla was so good.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
I know, right? Damn you, Corona.
But thank you guys so much for joining us for another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. This is Resident Evil 1.5. If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes.
First, next week, though.
Yes.
We got to build it. It's the final episode of season 2.
Guys, we've done 2 fucking seasons of this shit.
Yes.
Holy god.
So it'll be 91, and it's going to be a big, big franchise.
Yes.
Big. First one.
We may also have another guest joining
Maybe
us.
Maybe we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. I'm very excited. It'll be fun. It'll be a new guest also, so and, it'll be fine.
Yeah, they're getting tired of us.
Yeah, dude.
I know. Fuck you guys.
Talk about the D-Leagues, you know?
I get it. No crap reheat.
No, seriously. Like, I loved having you guys. This was I laughed so much. We had some claws. I'm sorry. We had some bleep.
God damn.
I did not have any claws. I just went through
just one.
Go the road. Yes.
But no, this was actually a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this conversation. But next week, it is our season finale for season 2. Anthony's been very excited about this. He's been wanting this for our season 2 closer forever. Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most important horror films and involves the Italian mafia. I'll just tell you that right now. That's the story. So figure it out from there.
That's your hint. That's it for that. Thank you everyone for joining us. This is Resident Evil 1.5. If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and write us a little review. And you can also subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod. And then you can find us on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. And then you can find Anthony on Instagram and Twitter at Hyrulean Hustler. And then you can find me, Alex, on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. Where can we find you, fine gentlemen?
Usually I'm in a dumpster behind 7-Eleven. No, you can follow me at the_mighty_monarch on Instagram, where I post most of my articles from CBR, which is Comic Book Resources. That's my whole jam. And yeah.
And also the forums for 1.5 on Bioflames. That's just the Mighty Monarch over there also.
I'm going to be all up on that, talking about how Cochran rules, how the sucks.
And then I'm on Instagram and Twitter at N4L_gaming. That's our gaming page. But my personal page is Big Bang Cordova, all one word. And that's pretty much it.
Awesome. So I think that's it for this week. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This was such a delight. I loved it.
Oh, awesome.
Thank you. You guys are awesome. This was so much fun.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
So. Andy Cocky.
Bye, guys.
Thank the curator.